Man, you should have seen me dancing back there. Woo! shake it off. Any Swifties in the house? Let's see. All right. Yeah, I was reading early in Taylor Swift's career. She was at the MTV Awards, and she was receiving a VMA for Best Video. And she was 19 at the time, and Kanye West jumped on the stage, grabbed her mic, and interrupted her acceptance speech. And he told the crowd that Beyonce should have received the award, and the crowd booed. They were booing Kanye, but at the time, Taylor Swift thought they were booing her. And if you watch the video of it, she's kind of stunned and embarrassed, and she just leaves the stage. Most people would crumble, but she moved past the critics and the drama. Years later, she would turn that experience and others that were like it into the hit song, Shake It Off. You know, it's a reminder that sometimes the best response to hurt, hate, is not being offended, but shake it off. Shake it off, keep dancing anyway, just enjoy life. And so we're starting this series, Shake It Off. And as followers of Jesus Christ, I'm suggesting that we learn to shake it off. You know, now, how many of you have noticed that people are easily offended today? Yeah? All right. It's something I've noticed, but I'm going to ask you a more difficult question. How many of you are easily offended? It's something I've noticed, that many followers of Jesus Christ live offended in life. I think part of it is Christ's followers believe it's their job to be offended, that if you really, really love Jesus, that what you should do is gripe about culture, and that you get really angry and you stand up for truth and you get mad and you call out people for sin. And I just want to say, no. Which kind of begs a question here. As a follower of Jesus Christ, how are we to respond to injustice, to division, to hatred, anger? Again, I'm suggesting we shake it off and quit being offended. That we shake it off and actually become unoffendable. And some of you hearing that are offended right now. You're like, Damon, you don't understand the crazy people in my life. You don't understand what they said. You don't know what they texted me. You don't know what they've been posting on social media. They're loud, they're opinionated, they're often criticizing me and things that I believe in. I can't believe you're asking me to shake it off and not be offended. Friends, I'm not easily offended. I've got really thick skin. Unless someone takes a shot at my wife or my kids or my grandkids or somebody hurts a friend of mine, you know, or somebody criticizes the church or they criticize my message or something that I've said or they criticize what I'm wearing. Okay, maybe I'm easily offended. I don't know. This is a complex topic. And so what we're going to do in the next few weeks is we're going to dig into this. We're going to look at what God's word says. We're going to search our hearts and hopefully allow God to do some healing and show us where we're all easily offended. I will probably offend everybody here in the process. But what I'm hoping and praying that as I offend you, that I help you shake it off. You know, shake off the offenses, the hurt, the anger. And so I want to start with a big thought here. It's found in the book of James. James was a half-brother to Jesus. Can you imagine having to grow up and Jesus is your brother? You know. But he says this, "Understand this, my brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." How are you doing with that assignment? We're to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to show anger. But we live in a world where most people are the exact opposite of that. Most people are very fast to speak, quick to give you their opinion, easily offended, quick to get angry. Most people live very counter to James's wise instruction here. You know, when I think about the world today and how we're to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, just a quick assessment off the top of my head, I would say anger has escalated in the last decade. And not just in the world, but in our own lives. And I don't know about you, but there are things that annoy me, okay? They can set me off inside. And you know what? Most of them are small things. You know, like someone cuts me off in traffic, driving like a fool. And I'm like, when I see you at church, you're gonna hear about it. Or I'm in the store, and somebody runs into me with their cart, and there's no acknowledgement, no, hey, I'm sorry about that. Just like, get out of my way, I'm on a mission. The other day, Cindy and I took our grandson to see Superman. There were about a dozen people in this big theater, and we were kind of spread out. I can get aggravated at movies. And I have different levels, like level one, when somebody makes just a lot of noise for no good reason, you know, slurping their drink, you know, playing with their straw, making it squeak over and over and over, you know, tapping the chair in front of them like they're playing the drums or something. And I know, okay, so maybe I got issues, all right. But there is movie etiquette. You know, level two's when people start talking a lot, you know, correcting their kids really loud, or they're changing seats all the time, and, you know, standing up and take forever doing that, asking questions of one another during the movie, even talking to the movie. Yeah, get him. You know. And level three, when people answer their phone in the movie and start talking to the person that's called them. So anyway, we're about halfway through the movie. The lady, she's several rows down and off to the side. She answers her phone. She talked for like 20 minutes, loud. I could hear it. It's like, tell her it's gonna be fine. Hang up, you know. I'm getting annoyed. I'll be honest, a little angry. I missed part of the movie because I let that get inside me. Anybody with me on this? My point, there are so many opportunities to get offended, annoyed, aggravated, you know, angry at people. Angry at people that have very little purpose in their life, that spend hours and hours and hours on social media arguing politics, vaccinations, climate change, economy, immigration, faith. I could go on and on and on. People angry about all kinds of issues. And just so we're clear, we all have issues. In fact, turn to your neighbor and say, you got issues. That was fun, wasn't it? We really do have issues. You know, that thing that we think everybody should be upset about, that thing that should be addressed and fixed. You know, the reality is, whatever it is that aggravates you is one of 100 different things. But it's an issue, and it sparks something in you. In fact, it takes your anger to another level. In fact, not only is it something that makes you angry, it makes you angry when other people aren't angry about it too, right? Is this getting too real? My point, things can easily escalate. You know, when you find yourself aggravated, angry, whatever, most of the time, it is not pleasing to God. And this is a very, very difficult thing to admit. Now, this may not be true for everyone, but I think that some people actually look for things to be offended about because they actually enjoy being angry. You know, when friends get together, you know, at the gym or school or work or church, someone brings up an issue. Oh, well, hold on to your seats. Off we go, you know. And it's kind of funny if it wasn't so sad. I mean, when you're angry, I think what happens is we feel a little bit like we're spiritually superior or morally superior to someone. We're right. You're wrong. We're evolved. They're evil. You know, we're discerning. They're delusional. It's not pleasing to God. So let me ask you something. How effective is your anger? Is it working for you? Is it making you more like Jesus Christ? Is it pointing others to the joy and freedom that's found in Christ? Is it making you more loving? Is it drawing people to Jesus Christ? I'll answer this for you. Absolutely not. We're to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Why? Well, James is going to tell us. He goes, human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Your human anger, my human anger, whatever it is that we're angry about, you know, we're angry at that small offense or a major betrayal. You know, we're angry at someone because of their opposing political views or because they flipped you off in traffic or out on the highway, whatever. Your human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. And if you're like me, you're pushing back right now. You're like, well, you don't understand. My anger, it's righteous anger. I'm right because my anger is about sin that's out there. And here's something I've noticed, that anger, that hatred about something that breaks God's heart, it's only expressed over other people's sins, not my own. Have you noticed that? We get really whipped up about this, but we got this, and well, that's okay. Maybe, let me suggest, that it's not righteous anger, but perhaps it's self-righteous anger. You know, as a follower of Jesus Christ, it's really easy to criticize their foul language, but ignore our spiritual pride. You know, it's easy to judge someone's sexual sins, yet we ignore our gluttony. You know, we are really quick to point out someone's lack of ethics. But we excuse our inconsistencies. Have I offended anyone yet? I'm coming after you. That is my goal. It's too easy to justify your anger. Why? Because it's your anger. How effective is your anger for you? How's it working for you? You know, when you get angry, I believe you got a decision to make. Do you want to make a point? We like that. Or do you want to make a difference? You know, too many people simply want to make a point. Don't care who gets hurt in the process. Friends, if you want to make a difference, though, you need a different attitude. You need a different strategy for dealing with the wrongs in this world. You know, rather than letting your feelings, your emotions direct your actions, you need to shake it off and allow God through His Holy Spirit to direct your actions and your words and what you do. So that you're not just making a point, but you actually make a difference with the people around you. You know, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we are not trying to win an argument. Do you understand this? We're trying to win people to Jesus Christ. We're trying to draw people to the grace and the goodness of God. And those things, that's a big, big difference. You know, one day a really, really smart guy, he was an expert in law, actually. And he asked Jesus, he said, "What's the most important thing?" And Jesus said this, he says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first, the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." Love God, everything in you, worship Him, love Him, glorify Him with everything you do. You know, honor God in every single area of your life. And the way you show that love is by loving people. In other words, showing them grace, having empathy, compassion, expressing the goodness and the love of God to the people around you, to other people in your life. I was looking, never once in Scripture did Jesus tell His followers, "You have to be right and let everybody know it." But over and over and over and over, He says, "I want you to be loving." I'll ask you again, do you want to make a point? Or do you want to make a difference? Friends, this is a struggle for all of us. It's a fight. And I'll be honest with you, there's part of me that likes to feel superior. Part of me that likes the idea of righteous anger, which again, oftentimes is really just self-righteous anger. You know, I think it's easy to convince yourself that the only way to make a difference in this world, anyway, is with anger, fighting back, you know. I was in karate for several years during my college years. This was kind of pre-MMA stuff. My brother was nationally ranked. He was really good. I just was okay. But something that I learned early on was the best fighters never get angry. Never get angry. Friends, that's true in any sport, any area of life, any situation. In fact, I believe that being angry is really the quickest way to get defeated. So as followers of Jesus Christ, how do we do battle against the forces of darkness? We're in a battle. Well, I'm suggesting we shake it off and lead with love, not anger. We're not trying to make a point. The goal isn't to go, "I'm right, you're wrong. No, we're to make a difference in this world, make a difference in eternity. Hearts are rarely changed by anger, by accusations, by judgment. They're changed by empathy, compassion, dialogue, listening, talking, and love. Lead with love, not hate, not anger. Shake it off, lead with love. So if you're a little bit like me, if you get annoyed at all the things that are going on out there, we could put a list together, couldn't we? Trust me, I've got strong opinions about stuff. I do. But I do not want my opinions to overrule my calling to share the love of Jesus with the world. I do not want to get sidetracked by little things that are just not as important as sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with a lost world. So, how do we learn to let go of some of that anger? You know, and quit being so offended about stuff. And I'm going to give you two thoughts this morning to get us started. It's, I believe they'd be incredibly helpful. It would help you shake off some of the hurt, some of the pain, some of the aggravation. And the first one's this. I want to encourage you to lower your standards. And here's what I mean. Too many times people, when we look at people, our standards, we put them up here. People will lie to you. People will let you down. People will betray you. People will tell you, I will be there for you, and they don't show up. People will forget your birthday. You know, they're gonna disappoint you. People will disappoint you. They will offend you along the way. And I kind of, when people go, oh, I can't believe, what do you expect? People will disappoint. Have you ever disappointed somebody? See, they're just like you. They just did it a different way. You know, instead of saying, I can't believe they said that. You know, I can't believe they did that. I am shocked. They claim to be a Christian, and look what they did, you know. Remember, we all need grace. We all mess up, all of us. You know, if you think that people are always gonna love you, never misstep, never mess up, well, you will always be disappointed, hurt, and offended. Lower your expectations for yourself. Shake it off, shake it off. You know, in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verses 2 through 4, Paul's talking to Timothy. It's the last days, about what'll be like in the last days. And he says, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Does that sound like anywhere you've been lately? People will let you down. People will disappoint you. People say stupid things. People will talk behind your back. They will hurt you. They will offend you. You know why? Sinful people do sinful things. All of us do dumb things sometimes. Stick around here long enough, and I will let you down, and I will offend you. You go, I can't believe he did that. You know why? Because I'm not perfect, but you're not perfect either. Don't tie love and acceptance to their performance. Don't do it. I mean, think about this. Jesus was never shocked at people's selfishness or their sin. You know, in situation after situation, if you read through the Gospels, Jesus models for us how we're to respond to that. For instance, Jesus, when he approached the woman at the well, he knew she'd been married 5 times, and now she was living with a guy that wasn't her husband. And what's Jesus do in that situation? Well, Jesus didn't beat her up, you know. He didn't knock her down and go, oh, look at who she is. I can't be around people like you, you know. You are messed up. He wasn't shocked. He didn't tear her down. No, you find Jesus offering her living water, the very thing to fill the need that was deep in her heart, the very thing she needed. You know, right before Jesus was arrested, he's going to go to the cross. He knows he's going to die. And Peter, who's part of the inner circle, I mean, he's boasting. He's proclaims right away. He goes, everybody else may fail you, Jesus, but I won't. I've got your back. I will always be by your side. You can count on me, Jesus. A few hours later, what's Peter do? He abandons Jesus. I mean, he denies even knowing him. You know, give me some distance here. After the resurrection, the next time Jesus sees Peter, he does not call Peter out. He doesn't belittle him. No. He shakes off that hurt. He had to be hurt. But he shows Peter love. He forgives Peter, and then he gives Peter a new assignment to care for the Christ followers in the future. How do you get over being easily offended? Lower your standards of what you expect from people. And then you shake off the disappointment and the hurt. When you are offended, we're all sinners. We've all messed up. People will let you down. Shake it off. Next thing, raise your level of gratitude for the grace of God. If you've ever sinned, if you've ever done anything wrong, lied, cheated, stole something, been self-centered, lusted, envied, gossiped, you need God's grace. You do not deserve God's grace, neither do I. But God forgives us. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Paul writes this, he says, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's a gift from God, not by works, so that one can boast, so no one can boast. You were saved, not because you were so good, not because you have it all together, that you did everything right. You're not saved because of anything that you did. You're saved by God's goodness. Mercy. You're saved by what Jesus Christ did on the cross. You're saved by God's grace. By God's grace, you're saved. We are people of grace that offer grace to those around us. And I know some of you are again, just struggling with this. You're like, but Damon, you know, they stole from me, you know. They are so arrogant. Somebody got to put them in their place. You know, they betrayed me. They're so messed up. No buts here. There are no buts. And please hear me. I am not suggesting or trying to minimize the hurt that you have or the pain that you deal with. I'm not suggesting what they said, what they posted, didn't cut you, didn't ignite some anger in you. And you may feel like I'm right, they're wrong. And you may be justified in that anger. But you have a decision to make in that moment as a follower of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus didn't call you to be right. He called you to be loving. The goal is for people to see the love of the one that changed your life. So you're hurt. So you're offended. So you disagree with them. So you know their sins and you want to put them in their place. Shake it off. Be quick to listen. Slow to speak. Slow to anger. Why? Because your anger and my anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires for us to have. It's just that simple. God has a plan. And God, through the church, changes cities. But we can't do that if we plan on living offended. And let me tell you something. You want joy in your life? You want some peace? You want that abundant life where you're bubbling over with goods? You got to shake off the junk in this world. There is too much of it. It's overload. And that's what I'm going to challenge you with through this series. And so this morning, we start shaking it off. This week, I hope you have a moment. You'll probably have a lot of them, by the way. Where you go, ugh, that person down two cubicles, somebody needs to, and then you go, I better shake it off. You see if your joy doesn't go up, your peace. You see if you don't walk a little brighter, so to speak, and see if God doesn't use that to make a difference. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, forgive us. We all have our stuff. We get wound up about it. We got a lot to say about it. We're quick to swing the swords. God, I pray you'd give us the heart of have a heart like Jesus. Doesn't ignore the problems, but just steps into them. Amazing love and grace and mercy. God, may we be known for our love. May we change whatever arenas we work in and live in. The people, they might say a lot of things, but Lord, one of the things they'll say, you know, they've got a lot of love for people. Help us be that. God, help us to honor you with all we say, all we do. Change us, Lord. Let us be your instruments in this world. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to continue worship. Prayer teams will be down front to pray with you this morning. You need prayer, come down and let them pray with you.